This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Mentioned it a little bit ago, but the breaking news in the National Football League tonight from Adam Schefter on ESPN.com confirming the leg injury that the NFL Network reported earlier for Von Miller, suffered an ankle injury per a source. There's fear that season ending per sources. Miller was hurt near the end of practice. What one person called a, quote, a freak injury. Team is still evaluating the MRI as of right now. That's from Adam Schefter on ESPN.com. Black and Abdallah talking football with you here on ESPN 1000. So, Abdallah, when we look at the Broncos and we look at Von Miller, one of the more explosive edge rushers in all of the National Football League, this is the week that we can start ramping up all our previews, all our collective thoughts about the NFL, and it's tough to see one of the stars of the game go down to an injury like this on one of the few practices left before the kick on Thursday night between the Chiefs and the Texans.
Yeah, the Broncos were 7-9. You know, obviously the Chiefs are going to be the kings of that division, going 12-4 last year. I think everybody's expecting them to repeat as division champions this year. But you were hoping that the Broncos were going to be a team that, you know, put together some more wins for Vic Fangio, and they were going to be anchored by that defense, and Von Miller is a huge part of that defense. And the problem is now he's going to miss a season. He's 31. He's going to come back off of a season-ending injury at 32. The question is going to be, how much can he come back with at that age, recovering from an injury, and still can he still be an anchor for that defense?
Yeah, the reports are not that he's out yet for the season. They're still figuring out whether or not he will be, but you're right, if he is, that'll be tough for a 32-year-old to come back with the explosiveness that he has off the edge. And it's not only that, it's like when you watch Von Miller play, it's special because of the way he can contort his body to get underneath the tackle to try and get under and use the right angles to get to the quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, and we see it here in Chicago all the time with Khalil Mack. And that's what makes Khalil Mack so special, is his ability to get low while standing upright. And it is incredible to watch. As a football fan, watching edge rushers go after quarterbacks is one of my favorite things to consume on a Sunday during the fall. And to see Von Miller go out like this, and you're right, with the Denver Broncos, a lot of people kind of pointing to Denver as one of those teams that could take the next step. I am not in that camp because I don't trust Drew Lock. And what we saw with that offense last year, being 26 in yards per play last year, that offense would have to improve by leaps and bounds to get that to be a playoff team. And like you pointed to, without Von Miller on that defensive side, the defense may take a step back, may not be as potent as it was. And there you have the Denver Broncos, who are in a tough division to begin with.
Yeah, they had, according to the Football Power Index, they had an overall ranking of 17th, but their offense was 25th. So, you're right. They're counting on Drew Lock to lead a young offense and kind of take that next step. Their defensive ranking was 6th. You're looking almost at a replica of the Bears, right? You're looking at a team that relies heavily on its defense and the offense not to screw it up, right? And so when you lose look at the Bears when they lost to Keem Hicks last year. Not the same defense. Not able to stop the run as often as they could before. You know, when you lose that guy who you can always count on, he is the second best player on that defense. So you lose a guy like Von Miller, who's, you know, a leader in that locker room, who you can count on to be there for every single play, and it's huge. I mean, it's huge for the team, and it's going to be a huge setback for that defense.
We're talking football. 312-332-3776. We're talking football with you here on Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. This is the week. We have football on Thursday night. The Bears will play on Sunday, and I feel as if this Von Miller news is good to segue into Bears conversation because of what you just mentioned, Abdallah, and the fact that this team mirrors a lot of what the Bears have to work with here heading into this season. And I think it's a piece of caution also, because when you think you have it all together in the NFL, those moments are fleeting and they're few and far between. And you have to strike while you have it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by all of this is that when the Bears traded for Khalil Mack a couple of seasons ago, they went from the fun up-and-coming team that had a good defense the year before, keeping them in games with the rookie quarterback. Can they figure it out and can they make the playoffs? To now they traded for one of the five best players in the league, and this turns the whole dynamic of what this team can accomplish from can they make the playoffs to you're in a championship window. And when I say the moment is fleeting, that's because this championship window has now been open for two seasons
mm-hmm.
with Khalil Mack here in a Bears uniform. This will be his third. Now, 12-14 was fantastic. We'll all take that. We all enjoyed it. The wild card game was tough because the Bears lost in the fourth quarter. We know how that ended. But we all thought there would be improvement offensively to go with how this defense has played so great over the last couple of seasons. That didn't happen last year. And so when we get to last season, at the end of last season, the hope was dwindling for many Bears fans, including myself, because the writing is on the wall. The championship window will not last forever. In the NFL, those great moments are fleeting because nothing stays the same. You have to take advantage of what's in front of you. And when the offense was so bad last year, so many three and outs, so many turnovers, just giving up games, when the defense did everything they could to keep this team in the game, to me, I thought the writing was on the wall that the way you fix this going forward is you fix the quarterback position. And the head coach and the GM went out in the offseason. They found a guy to be a quarterback for this team. Now, you and I have done shows on this station for the last year. We've done it longer than the last year. But over the course of the last year in the offseason, mm-hmm. we pointed out the other names we preferred to have as quarterback, Cam Newton. I even made the case that, you know, Andy Jameis. Dalton didn't make that. He didn't look that bad. Jameis Winston, I get it, a lot of turnovers, but he's had a lot of production too.
Mm-hmm.
There were names out there they could have gone and got, and they didn't. Okay. They went with safe, comfortable, someone they knew. That individual, once we get to camp, could not beat out Mitch Trubisky. And so when I start this whole conversation, and Bears fans, if you want to join the conversation at 312-332-3776, it's not picking one guy over the other. And it's not trying to figure out which guy I like more than the other. You know what I like? I like winning football. And I want to see this team take advantage of a championship window that's been open for 2 years. And last year you missed the playoffs, which is unacceptable for one of the great franchises in NFL history, the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
So as we head into this season with Mitch Trubisky as the starting quarterback, I'm just watching it now, patiently thinking, well, we've already seen this story. I hope it turns out well for him. Because, like, I just don't understand how you could go out and try and change this team for the better in the offseason, yet really, when we get back to week one to get this season going, we're basically, as Bears fans, sitting in the same exact spot.
Well, Chris, let me ask you this. Is 13th in touchdowns acceptable? Is
13th in touchdowns is okay, yeah.
Is 19th in passing yards acceptable?
Yeah.
Is 19th in yards per pass thrown acceptable?
No.
Is 19th in QB rating acceptable?
Not really.
That was 2018. That was 12-4.
You'd like better.
I would like better, but No. That's not what we got in 2019. We got 27th in touchdowns. We got 21st in passing yards. We got 32nd in yards per pass gain. We got 28th in QB rating. It got worse. So I don't know if you tell me that Trubisky is going to take the next step. Is the next step back to 2018? Because that wasn't good enough either. is it better than 2018? Because if it's better than 2018 and you're like, okay, he went and saw this quarterback guru, he fixed him, his foot looks good, he's got better with the receivers, he's got a better tight ends this year, he's going to have better weapons, all that kind of stuff, it's going to be great. Anthony Miller is going to take the next step. It's going to be awesome. Akeem Hicks is back, so the defense is going to be better. This is going to be better than 2018. Okay, fine, sure, fine. Great, awesome, grand. But if the step is to just go back to 2018, then what's the difference? Because it wasn't good enough then. All 12-4 got you was a wild card exit. And don't tell me that he played well in the second half, because he played like crap in the first half. You don't get those even out. That means you're mediocre, because you didn't do anything in the first half.
Did you win the game?
No, you didn't win the game. And it's not because of a kicker either.
Well, that tie goes, did you win? Right?
No.
Like in baseball, tie goes to the runner. If you want to debate first half, second half stats and whether or not he looked good in the first half or second half, did he win? No, he didn't win. Oh, a tie goes to he looked bad then.
Yeah.
Isn't that how it works?
He looked bad.
Like, in what delusional world do some people live in where they think that hope on a quarterback who's never shown you anything ever is just going to turn out hunky-dory and everything's going to be great,
but Chris,
high in the sky, bear down, Chicago Bears.
But Chris,
that's not how
he
it
drove
works.
Them down the field and set them up for the field goal that that Cody Parkey missed. He drove them down the
great.
Field.
How many points did they score in that game?
Not a lot.
Okay. And if they would have put up two touchdowns, maybe one more field goal, things would have worked out in their favor. And mm-hmm. then, like, that's what's so frustrating, because here's the situation. FanDuel has the lines for this week. The Bears are currently the underdog on the road against the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 3-point line.
It is.
Okay. They better cover. They better.
No, Chris.
Listen.
Covering's not enough. You got to beat the Lions, dude. You got to beat the Lions. And you and I, we're going to do this little thing. I got a name for it. You didn't like the name, but whatever. We're not going to get into that. This is not the time or the place to get into the name of the segment we're going to do.
Oh, coming up next.
But my point is that we both think the Lions are going to be better, because
they're not a pushover team.
No, they're not, because the Lions had a top six quarterback when he was healthy.
Yeah,
like Stafford had the sixth best quarterback numbers when he was healthy. They were 0-8 when he wasn't healthy. Last I checked, he's starting on Sunday, and he's going to be healthy. So, to me, they also, people are like, oh, they've got no offense. They added one of the best running backs in football last year. They've got weapons. He's got weapons to throw to. They added a bunch of defensive talent that left New England. They're going to be better. So don't tell me that they better cover. They better win that football game. Because if they don't win that football game, I can tell you the phones will be lit.
Well, I mean,
all day Monday, calling for Foles,
but if
or
you,
calling for Nagy's head.
If you don't beat the Lions, where do you go from here? Do you just say, "All right, Mitchie, we help you figure it out, pal"? How many games you go down the road this season before it's in the toilet? Do you say, "Yeah, gee, this is great. Just try and figure it out,
mm-mm,
buddy."
Mm-mm.
Steven Mount Prospect, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how's it going?
We're good, man.
I got a few things I want to say. First, I think this whole signing the Nick Foles was a sham to begin with. They know that if they bomb on a trading up for a number two pick and he doesn't work out, Nagy's gone, because he wasn't here when they was drafted, but Pace is gone. So he brought Foles in just for a sham to say, oh, we're trying, we bring in a competition. Oh, he was so good, he beat him out. But you got Cam Newton out there who got picked up for crumbs. Andy Dalton could have battled been better. And Jameis Winston. Like, if you really wanted competition, you had all those guys out there for pennies on a dollar, and you could have saved that money and allocated that money else places, getting another corner or something like that, instead of giving Foles all that money. It's like, come on, you're not fooling me. I'm a diehard Bears fan, but you're not fooling me.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%, Steve. I mean, like, and I've thought all offseason that the Bears should have gone after Cam Newton. And I get that originally you could have said that, they can't check the medicals, but he sat out there on the market forever.
Yeah, and the mentality can't be, well, we're starting Trubisky because it's easier going from Trubisky to Foles. Like, you can't go from Foles to Trubisky.
That I will never understand that one.
You
play the better quarterback for every game because you need to win the football game.
Yeah, you get an extra playoff team. Cool. So when the Lions make the playoffs, what are you going to do? When the Vikings and the Packers make the playoffs, what are you going to do? Like, It's not a oh well, there's an extra playoff game, so the Bears should get in. No, it's their offense needs to improve, or else you're wasting this defensive talent, and dudes are going to start quitting, and they don't have a deal with Allen Robinson yet. You think if this guy's going to be around next year, Allen Robinson wants to be here? Are you kidding me? He already suffered through Bortles once.
I mean Bortles to Midwest Bortles, it's all the same, right?
No more Bortles.
Hey, come on. I mean, I actually think Allen Robinson's probably a good enough dude that it doesn't matter to him, because he knows he's going to go out there and be a stud. He's going to go out there, run his routes. He's going to be open. He's going to catch as many balls as he can. He's going to score touchdowns.
Yeah, like, the ones that he can catch.
Yeah, but like, Allen Robinson is legit a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL.
Of course he is. Of course he is.
Like, I don't think it matters to him. He's too good of a guy. But, you know, like, a good quarterback could perhaps enhance someone like Tariq Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tariq Cohen, many times, on those little flat routes or the little swing passes, I mean, you've seen it. We've all seen it as Bears fans. When the pass is thrown 15 feet over his head out of bounds, when if he just gets that little easy pass, the dump pass, a swing pass to Tariq Cohen, boom, he's off for 25 yards on the sideline.
I feel like Anthony Miller would be so much better with a better quarterback.
Maybe. Michael, on the east side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Michael?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's going on, man?
A lot of talk has been going on with the offense. I just wanted to know, with the addition of Robert Quinn and some of the offseason changes to the defense, what do you guys think of the Bears leading the league in sacks, or how good the secondary will be? I'll hang up and I'll listen to you guys discuss.
Thanks for your call, Michael. You know, going for the sacks, not only will Robert Quinn help Khalil Mack, but I think also Khalil Mack is going to have a monster year.
So, I think so, too.
And then to address the secondary, listen, I love Jalen Johnson coming out of Utah as the cornerback. But the one thing that I don't think you can discredit is that Prince Amukamara in this system was a solid starter alongside Kyle Fuller. Mm-hmm. So I think skill set wise, Jalen Johnson's going to be a great player for the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the cohesion of the players that were here previously, like Amukamara. He knew the system. Right, like, so, like,
yeah.
You're going to have a rookie out there. There's going to be rookie mistakes at times, but he is a more talented player.
I think Eddie Jackson will be better, too, because he doesn't have to make up for all of Clinton Dix's mistakes, too.
Totally agree. Josh in Mount Prospect, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, man. What's up?
Well, when it comes to the Bears, so the reality is, I think some of this goes back to the old adage, when you've got two quarterbacks, you've got no quarterbacks. And, frankly, I think we're sunk this year. I also want to say, though, that I think that Pace and Nagy, probably with all this COVID stuff going on, may have made the right long-term decision to not leverage more than they already did with the quarterbacks and let this year roll on. Now, the problem is with the NCAA season compromised, we're not going to see the quarterback talent quite like we were hoping to. So I don't know what we're going to do next, but, you know, I think this season is pretty much already in the tank for any number of reasons.
Thanks for the call, Josh. We appreciate it. And I agree, that's one of our favorite adages when it comes to football. When you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. I agree, Josh.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Mo and Niles, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mo?
Hey, guys. I just want to say love the show. Love listening to you guys, the first-time caller.
Thanks, man.
So I kind of wanted to talk back. You know, right before break, you guys were talking about, and I completely agree with you, by the way, you guys were talking about how great of a guy Allen Robinson is and how he won't care, essentially care about how bad our quarterback situation is, right? We're with Mitch. I kind of wanted to say, I don't know if the video went viral or not, but the year that Blake Bortles really became Blake Bortles, just unraveled, there was a video that came out during their training camp in Jacksonville, and he completely missed Allen Robinson the corner of back end zone during a practice. And cameras caught him walking back. You know, he's kind of disgruntled, like, come on, man. Got to hit me. Or so. He said something along those lines, but you could tell the frustration in his voice. So as good of a guy Allen Robinson is, even he can get frustrated with the quarterback situation, which is why I personally, I want to see him sign with us long term, right? So I don't want him to go through a Blake Bortles 2.0, which is the signs are already there, man.
Right. No, I'm with you, Mo. I hope that Allen Robinson is here for the long run. And I hope that, and listen, a lot of words get put in our mouths, especially between 7 and 10 on ESPN 1000, where you can listen to Cap and Jay Hood and listen every day. It's our new morning show on ESPN 1000.
Great show.
But I just want to see a quarterback play well for the Chicago Bears. I don't care who it is. If Trubisky can figure this out,
they could have signed Bortles. I don't care. As long as it's good.
If Trubisky can be a good quarterback,
yeah,
let's do that. If Foles can be a good quarterback, let's play that guy. If neither of them are the answer and they have to draft someone next, whenever they figure out to have a draft for next football season,
mm-hmm.
I was going to say the spring, but I don't know.
Who knows?
But for this point that I'm going to make, I'll root for that guy.
Because the idea was, Chris, and they kind of did this, is you want to do the Seahawks model. You want what the Cardinals are doing now, where you have a stud quarterback on their rookie deal and you can just pay everybody.
Yeah.
Because your most important position is still on their rookie deal. I mean, look at what the Seahawks accomplished when Russell Wilson was on his rookie deal and how much they could spend on that defense and really and win something. And then now look at what the Cardinals are doing with Kyler Murray while he's in his second year of his rookie deal, signing DeAndre Hopkins, signing a bunch of dudes. They're going for it. You know why? Because they can. Because they know as soon as he's up for a contract, Kyler Murray's going to get paid.
We've seen it from many teams before. A quarterback on the rookie deal is when you can spend your resources elsewhere on the team, and you're right. That's when you have the best chance to win. This week is our Back to Football week as football returns on Thursday. Let's go to tonight's segment.
We missed you, football.
Hut, hut, hut!
And then hut! Black and Abdallah.
Oh! Whoa! What a hit!
Best time of year again, Back to Football.
I watch him, he's going. Hut, hut, hut!
What a catch!
Oh, God!
DeAndre Hopkins!
I'm excited, man. I'm super excited.
Black and Abdallah.
Domination.
Oh, my goodness.
On ESPN 1000.
We missed you, football. And it's great to have you back.
So for tonight's Back to Football Week segment, you get a doubler. You get this segment and next segment. Ooh. We got two items for you tonight. We will have five teams that will surprise people this year and five teams that will take a step back.
I wanted to call it regress or impress.
But you can call it whatever you want.
Because I thought Tyler, East Coast Media Elite, Tyler producing the show, is regress or impress a better title?
Yes, I love it.
Thank you.
Then surprise or take a step back?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, but we're not going for a catchy little title.
Yes,
I'm just giving
are.
You
why that's not? What we do. We're in the radio business.
No, but come like, on. That's different.
We
this is
called Lead
Pipe Locks. This Blazing is just... 5. Impress or regress?
Yeah, we get Blazing 5 this week. That's pretty good. I like that. See what he said about Trubisky today?
Not so good.
I think he equated that to the Kansas City airport, and I agree. They're both trash. You ever been to that airport?
Awful. Not Kansas City, no.
Kansas City airport, each terminal and each little gate has its own security.
Oh, it's horrible.
So you have to, like,
every time.
If you sit down and then you want to go get a coffee, you have to come back through security. It's, anyway, here we go.
Which one are we doing first? Regress or impress?
Which one?
You tell me.
Tyler. East Coast Media Elite. Tell
regress
us.
Regress or impress?
We always go negative first on the East
regress,
Coast.
Regress. I like it. Okay. Of course we do.
All right. So these are the five teams that we each have our own list, so we will roll through them. These are the five teams that we think will either regress or take a step back this year. I will give you my number one team, the Tennessee Titans. Trusting on a running game and Ryan Tannehill to get it done offensively will only last so long. They were 16th in defensive yards per play. And they do have the 31st strength of schedule this season, so they will grab some wins, but they will not be as impressive as they were last season because their defense isn't good enough to prop up Tannehill and the run game.
All right, I agree with you. They're not my first team, but I will agree with you because I don't want us to be redoing these same things. So I will also go with the Tennessee Titans. Is he really going to have 22 touchdowns again and only 6 interceptions? Ugh. How about Derrick Henry? Is he really going to have 102.7 yards per game? Is that going to work? How about this schedule? This stretch of games at Minnesota, at Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Houston, the Colts, at Baltimore, and then the Colts again. How about that? That's tough.
That's a tough schedule.
I think the AFC South is actually going to do a little bit of flipping. But like you said, their football power index only has them at 8 wins. I think that's a team prime for regression.
My second team on my teams that will take a step back. Hang with me here, guys. The New Orleans Saints. Now, I know, I've seen all the previews Everyone is picking the Saints to be one of the best teams in the NFL and a Super Bowl favorite. But what happened to Drew Brees at the end of last season in the playoffs? He was outplayed by Kirk Cousins in a playoff game at home with fans in the stands. They will not be bad. By no means will they be a bad football team, but they will not be the best team in the NFL. I think the New Orleans Saints take a step back.
I can see that. I can see that. I'm going to go with my second team is going to be the Green Bay Packers.
We agree.
The Green Bay Packers at 13-3 last year. The Football Power Index has them at 8 wins. Listen to their first 8 games of the season. Minnesota, Detroit, New Orleans, Atlanta. I know Atlanta, but still. Tampa Bay, Houston, and then again with Tampa Bay, Houston.
Do you have the schedule there?
Yeah, I do. The Vikings, 49ers. Look at that. Look at those games. That's an insane schedule. They only outscored their teams last year by an average of less than 4 points per game. So a lot of close games that could go the other way. Only 47.8 chance of returning to the play-ins this season. And who else is Aaron Rodgers throwing to besides Devontae Adams? I don't think they're going to look. They could still win the division. They could still come in second and make the playoffs or win a wild card spot if they want to. But I don't think they're going to have 13 wins.
I agree with you on the Packers as my third team that will take a step back. They will be decent. They will not win the NFC North. They're 22nd in defensive yards per play, and their offense was only 16th. Not good enough. They are not a 13-3 team. They're not going to be terrible. Rodgers will still be good, but they're not going to be the team we saw from last season.
How about my next team, the Houston Texans?
Ooh.
8-3 in games decided by 7 or fewer points last season. I think the Colts are going to be better. I know they split with the Colts this year, but I think that means they may lose 2 games this year. Are they going to beat Kansas City on Thursday? Because they beat Kansas City last year. That counted for one of their wins. Are they going to beat them in the regular season? We saw what happened last season. So, and then they're 19th in overall DVOA last season. The Football Power Index gives them 7.6 wins, which is below the 8. I think there's some regression. I think that the Colts step up and win the division. I think the Titans and the Texans take a step back in that division.
Teams taking a step back. My fourth team, the Atlanta Falcons. They have one of the toughest schedules in the NFL, the fourth toughest schedule. Their defense is no good, and that great offense we always hear about with fantasy football guys that everyone loves. They were still only 15th in offensive yards per play last year, and they were 7-9. They take a step back this year.
How about the LA Rams? They were 9-7 last year. The FPI only gives them 8 wins this season. Weeks 10 through 12, Seattle, okay, West Coast, all the way to Tampa Bay, then back for the 49ers. Those are 3 tough games if they were in a neutral location, let alone traveling across country twice, right? So no Todd Gurley. How are they going to make up for that? I know he regressed last season, but he did command a lot of attention. I just don't like the Rams this year. I think that they, you know, only win maybe 7 games.
And my fifth team that takes a step back is the first team that is on the list where you think they will be good, but I think they will not be good. That's the Indianapolis Colts. Have you ever gone in the water with a Band-Aid on? What happens to the Band-Aid?
Well, no, they have waterproof Band-Aids. So if you're wearing a waterproof Band-Aid, you're fine.
Band-Aids
if you're wearing a waterproof one of those, like, those fabric ones, those stick pretty well.
Yeah, so Phil Rivers in the playoffs, which is the water, the deep end, will come off the Band-Aid there. For some reason, the Colts, a team I loved hanging into last season.
Don't care about the playoffs. I care about the regular season.
I'm telling you right now, I think the Colts continue to take a step back.
My last team, and I had them on as my last team before. It's the one I'm least confident in, but still. I had them before the Von Miller injury. Like, if we're ranking them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they're my fifth team, is the Denver Broncos. I don't believe in Drew Lock. I just don't. I don't think he's a good quarterback, and now losing Von Miller is even more ripe for decline. I think their FPI only has them at 7 wins. I think they only win 6 games this year.
Who are the 5 teams we think will surprise
impress
people?
Impress, regress, and impress. Regress and impress.
We'll tell you next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
break.
It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We're celebrating back to football week here on Black and Abdallah. Every night with you from 6 to 8 here on ESPN 1000. Always remember to listen to the new morning show on ESPN 1000, Cap and Jay Hood, 7 to 10.
Of course.
Right here on ESPN 1000. And please, if you hear David Kaplan talk about Black and Abdallah, just let us know and tweet us at Chris Black and at Adam Abdallah. We're listening too, but it's always fun to get the social conversation going.
Waking up and knowing, and when I look at my mentions, that we've been in his brain sometimes in the tees.
That was a record. That was good. I'm going to say last week when we made the tees at 6:53 a.m., his show didn't even start, and he was already talking about us on the air.
I mean, you know.
It's pretty good. I mean, it was a good week for him because he said this.
We're going to start Nick.
Ugh, man.
We're going to start Nick.
Tough to take that L.
We're going to start Nick.
And then the Bears announced that they're going to start Mitch Trubisky.
Tough L. Tough L.
So,
goldfish, just say, cat, dog, human bird, being, goldfish.
Is the machine shorting out?
No. Unfortunately,
we're going to start Nick.
I hit that one, and then it
human
just started.
Human being, dog, cat, bird.
All the caps started.
Daddy like it.
Get Jody on the line. We got to fix. We got to get in there and fix it.
All the caps just started firing.
Daddy like it. Dog, goldfish, bird.
It just, and if you don't have any idea what we're talking about right now, so last year after the Eagles game where the Bears were terrible in the first half, I think what Trubisky in the offense went for 9 yards. A cap went on the air the next day. And
I owe every single human being, dog, cat, bird, goldfish, and every other creature on God's green earth an apology.
For backing Mitch Trubisky. That's a short edition. You can find it online, the long edition. But yeah, you're right.
Human
bird,
being,
goldfish,
dog, cat,
all
human
the caps
being,
are just,
dog, don't buy, don't daddy buy. Likey. Look,
they're all just kind of short-circuiting there. You're right. So what we're talking about here. So
aggress and impress.
We're letting people know to listen 7 to 10.
Yeah.
Every morning here on ESPN 1000.
And now it's time to impress.
We missed you, football.
We're doing it again because it's the second time.
Oh, okay.
Black and Abdallah.
Back to football week, baby.
Your finger slipped again, but I love
back to
this
football
so far.
Week.
Yeah, let's do it.
What a catch.
Goldfish.
DeAndre Hopkins.
I'm super excited.
Black and Abdallah.
Dog,
cat,
on ESPN 1000.
We missed you for gold. And it's great.
I could do that all night. I could just sit here.
Do it one more time.
Bird.
Cat.
Dog.
All right, here we go. Back to football week. Yes, right. Back to
cat, dog,
bird. Okay.
You went first last time.
Okay, so this is the five teams that we think will surprise people. I'm just setting it up. You can go first. The five teams we think will surprise people this year in the National Football League. Go ahead.
I'm going to start with the Lions. They were 3-12. No, Cats. Yeah, Cat. Lions.
Cat.
They were 3-12 last year. They were 0-8 in games when Stafford did not play after he was hurt. He was 6th in total QBR when he was healthy. FPI has them winning 7 games, so yeah, they might not make the playoffs. Yeah, the Bears might beat them twice. Still, they're not a 3-win team. If Stafford stays healthy, and if you go through their losses, they were beating Kansas City at one point. They were beating the Bears late in a game. They lost a lot of games late. And so you got to look at that when you come into and try to pick a team that's going to take the next step. Because if their defense gets better, they add a couple weapons on offense, which they did. They poached a lot of that New England defensive talent, and I think they're going to win. You know, they could win. They could be a 500 ball club. They could absolutely be a 500 ball club.
Not to interrupt this segment, but the update on Von Miller from Adam Schefter. Von Miller injured his tendon in his ankle on the last play of practice today. He is expected to need surgery that will likely end his season, league sources tell ESPN. So that's the latest on Von Miller. The five teams that we think will surprise people this year, my number one team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Last year, they were third in defensive yards per play. Big Ben is back. Think back to last year. Half the games were started by their backup or their backup's backup quarterback last season. Think about all the games on primetime television where the Steelers are playing with a backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
DVOA has the playoff odds report, and they give the Steelers the fourth best chances to win the Super Bowl. I like all this stuff. I like Big Ben being back for the Steelers. I think the Steelers are going to be my number one team that surprises people this year.
My number two team are the... Do you got a horse over there? Is there a horse?
No, there's no horse. No he horse. Only said sorry to the goldfish, the dog,
do
the cat,
dog.
The
dog is close.
Dog.
It's four legs. They walk around. Sometimes a kid will ride a big dog. There's some dogs. There's one dog that walks around my neighborhood. It's a giant. It's like one of those Marmaduke-style dogs.
I've seen those. They're
beast.
Big.
A beast. So it's the Indianapolis Colts. They went 7-9 last year. They're going to get better quarterback play because I think I don't know if Philip Rivers is better than Jacoby Brissett, but I think that Frank Reich is a good coach and will protect him. They have a much better offensive line than the Chargers did. And so I think that he's going to use him well and with short completions. And I think that they will be better. The Football Power Index has them at 9 wins. They had the 30th ranked offense last season. They're going to be better than the 30th ranked offense last season. They're 9th in defensive DVOA. And get this, they have the easiest schedule in the NFL. So I think that'll help them a lot. So I think they can win 9 games. I think they can win up to 10 games. I think they'll make the playoffs. I think they will win the division and go to the playoffs.
My number two team that I think will surprise people this year in the NFL, the LA Rams. Their defense is still good.
Wow, opposite.
Their offense should be top 10. And I don't think that Sean McVay was a one-hit wonder. Even though they're in a tough division, I think that this team will be in the new playoff format in contention for a playoff pick. I think a lot of people, including you, Abdallah, are picking the Rams to regress.
I am.
I think the Rams will actually surprise some people this year.
Okay. Can I get Bird?
By the way, shout out to Trey in the Twitch chat. He says that all these little
dog, cat, goldfish,
human
bird
drops of cap should be turned into an audio children's book.
Okay, I like that. With one of the buttons on the side?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those.
Bird.
All right, so I can get Bird? Bird?
I already played it.
Arizona Cardinals. Do we need to say anything more? You and I are we're Bears fans, and then we're Kyler Murray fans, basically.
Supporters.
I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, they lock him up. 7.5. They won 5 games last year. I'm not saying they're ready to make the playoffs yet. But they're going to win 7-8 games this year. Football Power Index gives them 7.5 wins, so right in that range. The NFC West, but I think it's going to be tough. You've got the Seahawks in there. You've got a bunch of good teams. But I think that they're ready to take the next step. I think Kyler Murray, I mean, Greeny's talking about it earlier today. If you were listening, noon to 2, said that he should get MVP votes this year. I think that he might. And I think that the Rams will be down, which means I think the Cardinals will be up.
The point of this segment is to tell you the surprise teams this year. That doesn't mean that they're going to get to the playoffs.
No.
Doesn't mean that they're a Super Bowl contender, which we get to my third team, the New York Jets. Sam Darnold, time to prove that you can be a great quarterback in the NFL. Listen, 6.5 is the win total in Vegas. I think this team could go over that. I'm not saying they're going to be a 9-win team. They can go over the 6.5. The defense was really good last year. Remember, they traded away Jamal Adams. That defense was 5th in defensive yards per play. Hopefully they can make up for what Adams brought to the table because he was legit. But I think this Jets team could actually surprise some people.
Can I get human being?
Human being.
The Dallas Cowboys, 8-8 last year. The FPI has them at 10.7
wins. If you're
wins.
Picking the Cowboys as a surprise, that means that they're your Super Bowl pick because I've seen them hot everywhere.
Look, I'm saying that they're going to be a Super Bowl contending team. I think they've got better coaching. They had one of the worst coaches in the NFL last year. Dude, CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, come on. You know how much we love Dak.
I love CeeDee Lamb. I think he's a stud.
6th in total DVOA last season. The 12th easiest schedule in the NFL. I think that the Cowboys, that this is finally it. This is finally the year. I think we'll see them in the NFC Championship game.
All right, I'm going to give you 2 because we need to wrap this
up. Right,
so
quick,
here's
quick.
4 and 5 for my teams I think will surprise people. Okay. The New England Patriots. Think about it. They're going to surprise people. Their defense was the best in the NFL last year. Cam Newton's still good. They're going to figure it out. They're going to surprise people. It's going to be a narrative throughout the season. Wow, how is Belichick and the Patriots doing it again without Tom Brady? That's going to be a thing. And I'm going to give you the L.A. Chargers. They were one of the worst running teams in the NFL last year, 28th in rushing yards per game. But they upgraded the right side of the offensive line, and Mike Pouncey is healthy. I like Tyrod Taylor. I think he's a serviceable quarterback. I don't think this will be a five-win team. The Chargers will be in contention for the playoffs. They will surprise people this year.
Y'all counting out Bill Belichick, you dummies. Also, the Patriots was my fifth one. I don't really have you said all the stuff.
All right, there you go. Early lines coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
You said all the
Chicago's
stuff.
Chicago's home for sports.
Dog.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen.
Download the podcast of Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. We have a ton of great football content to preview the new NFL season. Also, Chicago's College Tailgate will be back this Saturday with Jonathan Hood, Chris Black, and Adam Abdallah.
Yeah.
Saturday before Notre Dame games, 2 hours before. So this Saturday, we will be starting at 11 a.m. We'll be talking college football with you Saturdays throughout the fall right here on ESPN 1000. Download the podcast, Chicago's College Tailgate. Thank you to Tyler Aki for producing today's show. Early lines, Abdallah, anything jump out at you as we sit here on a Tuesday looking ahead at the NFL schedule? Something that you want to kind of keep your eyes on to see if the line moves by the time we get to Sunday?
Yeah, now people will tell you, beware of the West Coast going the East Coast, but there's one coach that has defying those odds, and that is Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks, a 1.5-point favorite against the Atlanta Falcons. I see that going up to, because the Falcons are trash, don't let anybody tell you different, and I see that going up to 2, possibly 2.5 by kickoff. I like that, and I see a team I did say would regress, but that doesn't mean it has to happen this week. It is the Tennessee Titans against the Denver Broncos, -2.5 against the Denver Broncos. I think that the defenses are going to carry week one. And the other one that jumps out to me, the other defensive one I'm going to look for, it's an under, 49ers and Cardinals, under 47.5. I think that total will come down.
Bears fans, the Bears are on the road. They're getting 3 points. So the underdog +3 for the Bears against the Lions.
That'll go up.
As you were saying, a couple of the things that I was kind of looking at. Yeah, you're right. So if you want that number, get it now. I was looking at Cardinals 49ers. The 49ers are the favorite by 7.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of points for a team that's going to have a good offense in the Arizona Cardinals. I kind of like the Cardinals with the +7, something to keep my eyes on throughout the week. And then the other number I'm looking at, and I'm saying, hold up, you're telling me I'm getting 3.5 with Tom Brady and his new team taking on the Saints?
God, that's going to be such a good game.
I kind of like that, too. So that's another number I'm going to keep my eyes on. Cowboys-Rams is a 3-point line with the Rams at home getting the underdog treatment. So they're getting +3 at home. That's another one I'm keeping my eyes on. Each week here on the show, we like to keep our eyes on the Cubs a lot, but then we also have to keep our eyes on the Chicago White Sox. Our buddy Brian O'Connor gives us a report on the White Sox each and every week. It's his Bro-Connor report.
Let's go, 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 White Sox.
Bro-Connor's proud of you.
Thanks, guys. Well, a fantastic week from our first place White Sox as they swept out the Royals.
Quiet.
And Luis Robert looks like just a fantastic center fielder.
Is he in a
bathroom? More on him later.
I don't know.
And, you know, we're dealing with Keuchel's back, and hopefully that's going to turn out okay. I would be remiss if I didn't mention on the other side of town, of course, a little-known team called the Cardinals happened to be in town in the friendly confines. Of course, not sure if many people saw, might have missed it. Oh, wait, that's right. They were on national TV for 4 straight days. So if you missed them on ESPN on Friday, don't worry. They were on the MLB Network on Saturday and ESPN Baseball on Sunday night. And then yesterday, they were still on ESPN. So hope you didn't miss them. Very exciting 5-game series. What happened? Nothing much. They basically split the series. I guess we learned that, you know, Ian Happ is the greatest center fielder in the history of Chicago baseball. You know, not that other guy at Southside. No, we don't talk about him. Ian Happ, do you know he's in top 5 in OPS in the leadoff spot on Tuesdays when it's not raining? And, of course, we learned that the reason why Baez is less swaggy in his swagness is that he can't watch himself during the game be swaggy. Anyway, thanks for letting me talk about the White Sox.
Let's go, 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 White Sox.
Bro Connor's proud of you.
Bird.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Talk to you tomorrow at 2 with Waddle and Sylvie.
Bird.